Welcome to Conversations with Anne Elizabeth, the podcast inspired by my book, I'm a Registered Dietitian, Now What?, where I have the absolute joy to sit back, relax, and have a conversation about nutrition with a variety of people who share their personal story of passion and purpose, especially registered dietitians. Today's conversation is with the lovely Laura Garrity. She's a registered dietitian who specializes in intuitive eating and is also a personal chef. Laura has always found herself in the kitchen, cooking with her family or cooking for others throughout her life. She initially studied economics in college, but a love for food and a strong family background in medicine led her to the field of dietetics. She currently has a private practice where she coaches her clients on repairing their relationship with food, provides virtual cooking classes, and shares real life with two kiddos in New York City. Please enjoy my conversation with Laura. Well, Laura, thank you so much for taking time out of your crazy busy schedule, which I know you do just have one all the time by your Instagram posts that you put on all the time. But I'm excited to meet you again in the airways. We actually met in person before we did the podcast, which is very unusual for me. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah, we had the joy of sitting next to one another just a few months ago at a dietitian kind of like luncheon. So that was really nice. I loved that too.
I did too. I think that's it. I usually enjoy meeting people first, but that's just not always necessarily the case. So we are just continuing the conversation from our day at the Dietitian Summit. And I just want to delve in. I know we kind of just briefly talked about all the things that you do, but I wanted to kind of delve into the background of Laura and how you got interested in dietetics, how you are where you are today, and do all that fun stuff.
I love it. Oh my goodness. How far back should we go?
Well, how far? I mean, usually I kind of go back to, you know, how did you kind of get first interested in nutrition, dietetics? You're also a chef, so that maybe that's where you started too. So maybe wherever you want to kind of take me first.
Okay. All right. Yes. Well, you mentioned the chef thing, and for sure it all started for me with a love of food. My earliest memories are of being in my childhood kitchen, either with my mom and dad, helping them cook, which was, you know, really simple at the time. It's not like my family, especially at the time with lots of kids at home, we weren't making gourmet meals, but I was always at my parents' feet helping out and then experimenting as I got older, lots of baking and, you know, even from like a young age, experimenting with things like easy recipes like pancakes. And then through high school and then in college, I would say my love of cooking almost became part of my identity. Like I would have like dinner parties, and if we were getting together just for a more normal night of revelry, there was always like a food component because I would be making a meal that would go along with it.
Nice.
So yeah, so it was just a passion. I loved being in the kitchen. I loved the creativity involved. I loved feeding people and the joy I could see it bringing to people. But it really stayed that way as just a passion pretty much all through college. I majored in economics and I had,
I had always said,
totally. No sciences, like literally no sciences in college. And I think I'm probably like the case in point of someone who should take a gap year to really figure out what they want to be doing before going to college, because I just was on autopilot and most of my friends were econ majors. So then I was an econ major. Most of my friends planned on going into finance, which they all did and still have very successful careers there. So I dabbled in that for a hot second after college before being like, oh no, what am I doing here? So yeah, I did a little stint in finance and then went into marketing for a brief time. But I had this realization in my 20s of like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be doing this work. Like school was always like very stepwise, one thing to the next. You're always progressing. Work, of course, is progressing. But once you pick your field, you're doing that. You're in that field, at least, for the rest of your life. And I just had this feeling with between finance and marketing, like none of those were right for me. This is neither were things, no matter what niche I went into, that would have felt right forever. So I kind of took a step back and, you know, just did some soul searching and a lot of mostly talking to family at that time about what I should be doing. And there was this understanding of like, will you really love food? How can you make food, you know, your occupation? And, you know, of course, the obvious answer there is probably become a chef. But I come from a very medically oriented family. My dad is a physician, although he's been on the business side of medicine for a long time. And he was the one who introduced the idea of nutrition and becoming a dietitian and had a few connections. So I had like a few calls with dietitians. And I was excited by it and it felt like a good way to bring in my love of food. And also, you know, health was highly valued in my family. So bring in that dynamic as well. And I kind of just went for it. So I went back and first did a few, because I had, again, no sciences in college whatsoever.
So
had to go back.
All over.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. So took, you know, a few preliminary science classes in order that I could get into a master's program. So I got my master's at Tufts in nutrition communication, and I did my didactic program in dietetics at Simmons, also in Boston. And then, you know, that was another 4 years of life, just except this time knowing all the while that I was doing something that was right and was exciting. And I always really cared about learning. And it was like a voracious appetite to learn, which had not really been there before. I had a voracious appetite to succeed in college, just do well, but I did not necessarily feel all that interested. Where with nutrition, it was like, I just couldn't get enough, especially, you know, in the last couple years where it was a little bit more application based.
Interesting. So obviously the second half of your scholarly career was a lot. It probably seemed a lot quicker since you really were in it to win it, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I'm sure you probably feel, and lots of people who are listening feel like it was also like the people that I was learning with were my people. They were so, most of them, I mean, so excited about food, about health. It was just, you know, there was tons of dinner parties and we would exercise together. And it was just like, it was a group of people that I met that right away were lifelong friends as well. So it
you met
it.
Your
four
people.
Years fly by. Yes, exactly.
Did you cook this whole time too? Were you chefing this whole time as well? No. Okay.
At this point, I wasn't chefing at all. This was just like all the chef work was still, or not even chef work. Cooking was just a passion project and really what I did on the side in my own free time to feed loved ones.
And yourself.
Yes, and myself. Most importantly, obviously.
Well, that's how was I would love to know. I mean, I've heard Tufts is a great program because nutrition communications is still kind of like one of those. There's a few of them out there, but there's not a lot. So like, how did you, you know, what did you think of that program as far as how it's helping you with your business and what you're doing today?
Oh my gosh, I can't speak highly enough for Tufts Friedman School in general. It just felt for the time that I was there that we were on the cutting edge of everything nutrition focused, whether that was like climate based, thinking about nutrition assistance for other countries. I mean, like things that were definitely outside of my wheelhouse and I knew I probably wasn't going to work in those arenas, but I still could learn about them. And we had, and they still do, I think it's now virtual for those who want to join as well, a Wednesday seminar series where an expert in their respective field would come in and speak to us. And, you know, at the end you could ask questions. So it just felt like constantly exciting and that I was learning from the best. So from the Freedman School in general, it just was the best. I of course can't at this point, but I wouldn't choose any other program.
Yeah, no, you're done. You don't want to go back at this point.
I do want to go back. That's the funny thing. I love learning. I would be in school for something for the rest of my life, especially those things that I'm really interested in. I love learning.
I love that about you because I am not that way at all.
No, it's
like,
bad.
Not school-wise. Like I would do like, you know, I do like classes that are like, you know, remote learning and that kind of stuff. I probably wouldn't go back to school, but yeah, I like that.
You know what? It homework really stinks because you're doing a lot of work and you don't get paid for it, which is you know, unfortunate. but if you like doing that, all still counts. You know, you like learning, you just don't like the work that goes along with it. And I'm sure, you know, I'm there. Trust me, if you gave me another assignment, I'd probably take back a little bit of what I'm saying now, but
or grades. Like I don't want grades again. No, thank you.
Stressful. I know. Yeah, I still have like bad dreams about showing up unprepared for tests and that type
me
of thing.
Me too. But. Me too. All the time. Like I'll have this crazy recurring dream that I'm missing my final for something and I'm racing down in my pajama pants and I'm like,
You didn't know that it was going to be that day and you haven't prepared yet. You
yes.
Know? Yes. Yes. I know. It's ridiculous. But the nutrition communications program was also very, very strong. And I feel like it prepared me well because so often kind of like inclination that I have, and I think some of it is taught to us, is to be the nutrition expert. And we are the experts and we need, in a way, I feel like within dietetics, it's like we're constantly trying to prove ourselves. And in reality, meeting people where they are and whether at like the communication, the reading level, if you're writing, the speaking level, obviously if you're speaking, is so much more important than looking smart. So I really valued how well that program taught me that lesson and all the different ways to communicate. I also really loved it because there was a real emphasis to learning to read research and then communicate it accurately and concisely. And, you know, as you know, if you don't understand research, it's very easy to see a headline and to walk away with it with a false impression of what it actually means. Mm-hmm. So I think the program did that very well, too. So I think those important skills that were kind of nutrition communications focused have served me well because I always have to remind myself that connecting with people where they are and teaching them something or, you know, sharing an idea as simply as possible. What they walk away with is more important than me looking smart.
Love that. Yeah. That's really good perspective. You put it into like the perfect words. I think we all have the tendency to want to do that, but sometimes we just don't get there. So I think like the simplistic way that you just kind of approach it is very, it's good. It's good for us to hear that.
Aww,
for sure. Yeah,
you.
I like that. Thanks. Okay, so finished your internship and your master's. What was kind of first steps for you on your new career?
Yeah. So I knew all along that the clinical route was probably not for me. Again, like my love of actual food was what brought me to nutrition. So tube feeds and parenteral nutrition and that kind of thing.
Yes.
It was like cool. And I felt like there was a lot to like, it would be cool to tell people I did that, but I didn't actually love that side. So I knew I wanted to work as an outpatient dietitian or in private practice or something along those lines. So I pretty quickly thereafter, actually just got a part-time outpatient dietitian job and started my own practice somewhat naively right away. Because in reality, first of all, let me say that even many years out, I still feel like I am growing as a coach and kind of like a nutrition counselor, which is more what I feel like I am, kind of like therapy. I really had no idea what I was doing at that point. So the idea that I was just going to start my own practice and be my own boss right away might have been optimistic. But I started doing those two things simultaneously right after school.
That's a lot to take on. But I mean, you obviously, you made it work, right?
Yes. I mean, it's always a work in progress. I mean, there were a lot of learning lessons there. I'm from the outpatient side, I learned relatively quickly that that also with being housed within a doctor's office wasn't where I felt like I wanted to be. There were so many limitations because, first of all, I definitely have an entrepreneurial spirit and, you know, I was in a big hospital system. I had very little control over the business of my work. And just like the amount of no-shows was just
insane.
Yeah. It was like, I am here and I want to work. And part of how we get good as practitioners is by practicing, and that was not happening very much because there were so many no-shows. And on top of that, those who did come had such restrictions on the amount of times that they could see me. And I would, for those who came, it was like I would see them 1 to 3 times in a 1 year period. And it just didn't feel as though I was making the impact that I wanted to there. So that was a lot, but there was so much to learn kind of about who that job really works for. Cause I actually think it does work really well for many dietitians, and who it doesn't work for. Me.
Probably. Well, that's a great perspective. Works for you, doesn't work for me. That's okay.
And if you work within a hospital, like there's so much more you can do outside of your specific role and department. And, you know, like I've spoken to dietitians who run teaching kitchens and, you know, other programs for hospital staff. And I think had I stayed there and I was more of a full-time role, I would have to be doing some of those things in order for it to really keep me engaged in doing the best work that I could do.
That's a really good perspective too. And I think like you wouldn't have known unless you would have done it, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you're probably glad you did it, but you're also glad that you figured out quickly that it wasn't your jam. So how long did you actually stay doing outpatient then?
I was there for probably a little south of 2 years, maybe more like 18 months. And I left not because I was ready, but not because I might not have left if I hadn't had my husband get into business school, which required us to move. It was the right decision to leave that job. But really what took me away from it was that we were moving to New York from Boston.
Gotcha. Well, maybe it was just like all the stars were aligning at that point. Yes, it just made it easier for you.
Yeah, totally. I'm in all things, a bit of an Irish exit type of person, like just fade away into the background. So it made that easy there. But at the same time I was doing that was, again, me optimistically trying to start my own private practice. And it was that same 18 month to 2 year period. And what I've found out now that I've kind of like started and stopped this private practice side of things is that's kind of the amount of time you need to even establish yourself. So I'm sure it would have felt busier. It would have had more traction had I kept going in Boston, but to be honest, the work was coming in very slowly. I didn't know exactly how to market myself. Like I went and spoke to some personal trainers who lived in my neighborhood. I lived in the South End in Boston at the time. I went to like my local gym and kind of set up a table, but all of my work that came in was not even from that. It was like from friends of friends. And as you know, we are taught, and probably everyone knows, that's not the best way to work. Like, it's so much better to have no connection to your clients. So that was a challenge for sure. And just, again, it was very slow going. And that is when the chef work came in, because the reality was I needed a consistent income and I didn't have consistent nutrition clients. And there were a few people that I knew that I loved cooking, you know, were liked the fact that I was a dietitian because they were looking for healthy meals, and asked if I would ever do, you know, some personal chef work, quote unquote, on the side. So that is when that started, and I was doing it a couple days a week in a very haphazard way, like, you know, doing shopping, getting a whole bunch of, I was cooking for individuals at that time, I think 3 to 4 at a time. So I would on Sunday do a massive shop, maybe a little prep work. And then Monday I would hit the ground running and cook, each person 4 meals. I like my fridge had to be empty at the start. By the end, it was all like, and then I would be driving across Boston in the suburbs, dropping the stuff off, which was by far the most stressful part, was moving the food at the end. And, you know, like the possibility of things spilling. And, and I had no, I knew a lot about food safety, which was good. You know, nothing was out for longer than would have been safe and everything was cooled properly. But I really did not know about cooking professionally at that time, or, and I certainly wasn't following, probably, I'm sure Boston has some rules about whether people are allowed to cook for others in their own home. But as is, you know, as is life, and I've learned again and again, perfection is the enemy of progress, and you learn those things as you go, and it all worked out.
Well, that's, I mean, so it kind of, you didn't really have the intention of making that part of your private practice then. So it kind of just happened for you. So you were like thinking, I'm going to be a dietitian, I'm going to do all the things. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to subsidize this dietitian thing with this cooking thing. So is it kind of now from that point on, did it kind of morph into one or more of the other? Or how has your business kind of evolved since then?
In lots of ways. So we moved to New York, and we had the intention that it was going to be a 2-year stint for my husband to go to business school. So there was very much like, should I try to bring quote unquote my private practice to New York? Should I get another outpatient job while we're here? And very haphazardly again, when we moved here, my desire to work and my need for immediate income kind of was the driver of decision making. And I had another friend of a friend who knew that I love to cook, and he has a design studio in Brooklyn. And he asked if I would come and cook lunches for his staff 2 days a week and cook them on site in a really nice kitchen. So it was the same idea, intention of, this is something I'm going to do on the side until nutrition takes off. And again, I was like, okay, I'll do that. And then I'm going to do my private practice, because that's what makes most sense if we're only going to be here for 2 years, like keep it flexible. Mm-hmm. And I did start seeing a few clients right away that knew who I was and were connected to me through friends, but really truly strangers at the time. So it felt a little bit better. But the culinary stuff or cooking stuff snowballed so fast, where they were having clients come in all the time and enjoy these lunches. Then those people wanted to know if I was free 1 day a week to cook for them. And all of a sudden I was spending 3 to 4 days full-time cooking. And it got to a point where this was always like a very haphazard decision, but I felt like I needed to make an active decision. What is bringing me more joy, like traditional nutrition coaching and counseling, and what is bringing in more income, and what is more immediately in demand, and the cooking stuff just like won on every front. So I decided I was going to kind of put like nutrition coaching on the back burner and throw myself into the chef world. And for sure, like nutrition was always a part of it. Clients really loved to hear that that was part of my background. And they also, many of them were on particular diets and felt good that I had the knowledge to follow those diets. And sometimes they would share with an open mind for me to say, like, is that really working for you? But most of the time they were just wanting me to say, okay, I'll cook that way. So the nutrition stuff played a part, but for sure it was more traditional. It played a part almost as a sales tactic, but
sure,
it was much
marketing.
More, yes, cooking oriented. And from there, that was, I don't know, maybe like 8 years ago. Because we've been in New York for a little more than 8 years. And I started doing that and then grew a team because demand very quickly outpaced me of up to six other chefs at the time. And we were cooking for families, artist studios, businesses, individuals all across Brooklyn and Manhattan and a little bit of New Jersey as well.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was
and
so
you
cool.
didn't move. And you didn't move.
No, we did not move back. No, I know. Yes, we did not move back. I mean, this is the last place in the world I ever thought that I would want to live. But it actually is, once you're here for a bit, it's a very, if you can swing it, and it's always a struggle financially, it's a very livable city. And it's a really fun place to work because there are just always so many people, if you're good at what you do, who want your help. So it was, and that was a great way to get to know the city because I got to know so many different people from very different walks of life. Again, from like artists to finance people to, I mean, people who worked in all different alternative sectors. I was either in their homes or in their offices. Again, spread across the city. So I got to know the city and lots of different people really quickly. So it really made it feel like home for me here. And I loved my team. I didn't have any dietitians work for me. They were all, for the most part, traditionally trained chefs, but like such fun people and still my people from like a different angle.
Sure. Do they still work for you? Do you still have your team then? Or has that evolved since your business has evolved?
Okay. Yes. I love how you're so good. You're just leading me along here. All right. So that was like 5 years of growth and so much learning and, you know, clients coming and going and the team evolving as well. It wasn't always the same crew that worked for me. But then I had kids. That was the first thing. I had my daughter, Georgia, who is now 4. And I, previous to being a mom, gave every bit of myself to my work from both like an emotional perspective, like my team and my clients were like my family, like my kids, I was always taking care of. And then also the job was really very physical. I was on my feet for 10 to 12 hours a day. Oof. And yeah, and I never felt burnt out because I had that much to give. And then when I had Georgia, it just really hit me of, oh, this is not sustainable as a mom. I can't, if I want to be the mom that I want to be as well. And there were other realities at that time. The reality was, and I can be totally honest with this, the more that business grew, the more clients we had, the larger my team, I never made more money. It was more work, but it never was more successful profitability wise. And that was like, I just couldn't, it was such a tough pill to swallow. And I tried so many different tactics during that time to not make that so, but, having Georgia really helped me face that reality. And there was also a side of me during this that was like, I'm a dietitian. I went back to school for 4 years. Like, 8 years of higher education, and I'm not using any of it. Yes. And then, as I was really grappling with all of that, COVID hit, number one. So that was like put the brakes on everything. Got pregnant a second time with my son, who's now 2, Graham. And it was like, that was the real opportunity to say, if this is not working, I need to make a change. And if I'm missing nutrition, like maybe now is the time to figure out how I can get back into it or dip my toes back in. And while we did keep going through the whole first year of COVID, some through like government financial help, getting a loan. Also because our clients were just great and really needed us and actually wanted us back in their home. I mean, we were able to keep going, but, my team was like my family. I had really voiced all along that I thought that this might be coming to a time where it probably should end, and they could all continue to do exactly what they were doing for all of our clients on their own without our company's overhead and actually do better. Like, they all were entrepreneurs in their own right. They could do it. Just when they came to me, didn't have the confidence. So it was a very organic end of, it was no longer working for me. My team was ready to do it on their own. So yes, almost all of them are still doing that work, mostly with those same existing clients. But none of it is under me anymore. I really completely removed myself from that and then did some soul searching to figure out, okay, what is next? Like, how am I going to marry this chef side and this nutrition side, which feels like they should really go well together because like food is the language of nutrition. But have had really spent a fair amount of time trying to figure out how to more actively tie the two together. And I feel like I'm getting somewhere just a couple years out from that. It's about 2 years out from wrapping things up and starting something new, but it is still a work in progress over here.
You're still trying. Well, and again, like you said, you have to, it's not going to be something that just happens overnight. It's something that your passions, your joys, you know, that kind of stuff changes as you evolve, and having a family and those kind of dynamics do change all those things. So you're just trying to do the best that you can with what you have.
Yeah. And in the best ways, you know, like sometimes something happens in your life that makes you face a reality that you wouldn't have been ready to face otherwise. And for me, that was both kids and COVID.
That's a lot.
It was really uncomfortable at the time, like really uncomfortable, because to stop a business is like accepting failure, let's say. I'm a proud person. I didn't want that to fail. But I've like since come to realize that it wasn't failure. It's just, we all will have lots of different versions of what we do for work. And as long as you have like a story in your mind of how things are evolving, that story that you tell yourself is almost the most important part. And I feel like I've gotten, my story in my mind is becoming a little clearer to me now.
Oh, that's good. That is good. I like that you said that there's lots of different versions of what we do. And that's, I think that's a great kind of way just to function in your life. Yeah. Like, you don't always have to be the same and you can evolve and that type of stuff. So it's great that you're figuring out that version of who you are right now.
Yeah. Well, who I am. And then also, you know, what kind of dietitian I want to be. I think part of that wrapping up time and figuring out the next steps was a lot of time, first of all, doing continuing education, which I had completely ignored for 5 years, and it was stressing me out because I was like, that deadline is coming and I have no CEUs yet. So it was good. It gave me the time to finally start to do that and use those CEU, the need for my CEUs to actually go into areas and learn something new. So in that time, I knew how I was practicing nutrition originally was part of why I didn't like it. And first of all, I was definitely, you know, right off the bat, a total generalist, and the majority of people who were coming to me were in a private practice capacity, were coming to me for weight loss. And it was really challenging because it just didn't, I felt that they wanted from me did not fit into my value system. And it very much felt like they were people who, you know, if you think of a spectrum of eating, like, you know, Western diet perspective wise, we're like eating quote unquote perfect diets, which obviously I think most people can agree don't exist. Mm-hmm. They were just looking for like tips and tricks to cut calories even further in order to be even smaller. And it wasn't about health. It didn't feel in my mind, it wasn't about health. And it felt as though they were looking for behaviors from me that like I would never do myself or recommend to anyone. And it also felt like there was an expectation of, but that's what you do because you're a dietitian.
Yes.
And at this time I had never heard of health at every size. I had never heard of, intuitive eating, like, you know, prior, like when I first finished school. And I was introduced to that. I don't even know where the first time I heard about this latest bout of continuing education and learning, I stumbled upon those concepts pretty quickly and really dove in head first to learning about both, and became a certified intuitive eating counselor, have like read all of the books. And what's so exciting now is I love my role as a nutrition coach, and I've gotten really clear on what my specialty is. And I realize now, like being a generalist, it's very hard to be impactful in all things all the time. You know, someone comes to me for GI stuff and I'm like, oh my, not only do I not enjoy doing it because I'm nervous because I don't know exactly what I'm talking about here, but like you are not getting the best care. You need to go see a GI dietitian, you know? But helping people repair their relationship to food and better understand some of the drivers of, you know, what might be going on to impact their relationship to food currently is just like, it's such rewarding work. So, as I'm truly now starting a practice very intentionally that I think will continue for many years to come, the work is coming and it feels really good. And I feel like I'm actually making a difference, which obviously makes all the difference in terms of me liking what I do.
That's awesome. I mean, like, what a great time for you to figure that out, though. Like, I know, like, COVID was difficult and all that kind of stuff, but thank gosh for CEUs and having to really put yourself out there to figure out what you want to do when you grow up, right?
Yeah. Like,
being intentional with your practice. I love it.
Yeah. And very uncomfortable. Like, lots of feeling really, really bad. And then even once I started learning, lots of feeling like I really wasn't good at it. And how was I ever going to get good? And I still acknowledge that I'm actually not great, but I'm so much better. And as I continue to practice, it's really like the skills are all, they're all just getting better. So it's fun to actually feel like I'm in the right place within the nutrition world and keep my toe in the culinary game by doing these virtual cooking classes that I do through Zoom that are just open to the public. And again, that feels like where the chef stuff was always like quote unquote on the side. Now it feels like this is a part of what I do is share my joy of food, not just nutrition, actively marketing it as that through my work. And anyway, it's fun to be able to wrap that in as well.
I love that. I think maybe like putting like your passion for helping people with intuitive eating and doing that kind of a practicing, it lends to you finding just more joy in being that, having that culinary aspect and culinary passion that you have. And you probably do that in a different way too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of why I always hesitated and struggled to bring that in is for a really long time, it didn't feel as legitimate to me. And now it feels like a really important part of the puzzle. And so, you know, I don't know. It feels good to do it.
Well, so tell me, so I know that, you know, moving forward, I know that you're finding like your place with your practice as far as helping dietitians, not dietitians, but helping your patients kind of just navigate. Do you have a certain like area that you like to focus on? Is it women? Is it men? Is it everybody? Is it kids? Or how do you like to practice as far as your dietitian business?
Yeah. So it's, both sexes, male and female, really, the people that I enjoy working with and I think that I serve, probably best are those that are looking, literally looking to improve their relationships to food. There are people who have kind of chronically dieted and feel really let down by the system and have, you know, a lot of, they feel really shameful or guilty around it. And so there's like an acknowledgement of what I've been doing for a really long time hasn't been working. I now feel a lot of anxiety around food and I want to try a different way. And I was kind of uncomfortable getting like too niche-y like that for a while, but I've come to realize through my work that's actually like, it seems like the vast majority of people have some work to do on their relationship with food. So anyway, that's to say, I guess I'm a generalist within that niche.
Gotcha.
But I haven't worked with, any adolescents yet. And I think if I was to go that route, there would be like additional training that I would really want to do first. And I am also like my next focus with continuing education. Again, I told you I could be a student forever.
The next 5 years
is actually learning much more about, eating disorders and disordered eating and working with that population, because I think it's really troubling how little I learned about that.
Yes.
Through my traditional education, when I feel like I am seeing it all the time. So actually really getting some better education there. That's like my next continuing education.
I love it.
Goal.
It's a good goal, because we did not get anything in our traditional education about that.
It's 8% of the population, you know, and it's, and especially those who are actively seeking work with the dietitian, like it's definitely more than 8% of those who are coming to us.
Yes.
So to have zero skills, or knowledge, or I have a lot of people who've come to me who are, recovered or in recovery, however they self-define. Mm-hmm. And I should know much more than I do.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I've had a couple of those lately this week, and I'm like, oh crap. I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah, exactly. You know how delicate it's
so delicate.
So, you know, it's kind of our responsibility to know more than we do. And I think, you know, schools have some work to do there with bringing that more into the curriculum. And hopefully it is more so than we were when we were in school.
I hope so too. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And then I know that you were talking about your classes that you're doing on Zoom. Mm-hmm. So I love that you did like an impromptu one. You're like, hey, what about doing this? Are you going to do it tonight? I'm going to cook. So I just love your take on like, I'm cooking regardless. So if anyone wants to join me, let's do this. So
yes.
Share a little bit more about that and how people can find when you're doing your classes.
Oh, yay. Love that. Okay, great. All right. So I am on Instagram at whatweeat.nyc, like we are what we eat. So whatweeat.nyc. And yes, I do impromptu cooking, let's call them cooking classes on there. That's actually a recent experiment, like posting a shopping list 48 hours in advance so people could go shopping and then we meet at a designated time to cook. So I've done that once, and actually it was really fun, and it was so sad because I went to upload it afterwards and Instagram didn't let me, you know, it's very glitchy. So it didn't upload afterwards. Such a bummer. But that was really fun. And I would anticipate doing something like that again. Because again, I am cooking anyways. I always, like, especially at the end of the day, if I've had like a 4-hour period where I haven't spoken to anyone, it's almost like, there are people on Instagram that might talk to me.
I'm going
to
go find them.
People. Sometimes I'll just jump on there and cook live. That being said, My husband hates when I do that because it turns to chaos in the background. If my kids are home, then he's like, oh, he feels like he needs to keep them quiet. I'm like, no. Let's just embrace the chaos.
Life. Yeah. Yes.
So that's what I do on Instagram. And otherwise there's nutrition tidbits that are very intuitive eating focused that happen on occasion. And then there's I do a lot of recipes and a day in the life of a personal chef type content on Instagram. And then I do also announce my more formal virtual cooking classes, which I typically do twice a month, both on Instagram and on my website. And again, it's I say typically twice a month because this is the first month, this month of April, that I am only doing one at the way end just because of how school vacation falls. Yes, but you can find out more about those there, and we will cook a meal from start to finish together. And I send out a shopping list, our recipes, kind of answers to common questions about how all of it works several days in advance. And then we usually cook together on Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the classes, really, that's more fun because it's much more interactive because I can see those I'm cooking with. People ask a lot of questions, which are always such good questions. And it's just fun. It's like you're cooking with a whole bunch of like-minded people once again. And I do not talk about nutrition there in any of the classic sense. I really personally feel strongly that is not, we don't need to be talking about, and this cheese has calcium that we're adding. I swear it actually turns people off from food. Yeah. It's this isn't going to taste good. They're talking about nutrition. We have to change this. We are we've got to change that. So I feel like these classes are a way for me to change it. Is it a well-rounded meal that is going to taste really good and give you some great leftovers? Yes. But do we sometimes bake brownies or make a cocktail or do all of the other things we should all be doing? Also, yes. It's awesome. Getting people to see nutrition from the big picture and food from the big picture with those classes.
Well, I have to say your food is very approachable. I mean, all the stuff that you make does look amazing, but it's very approachable. It's not don't be scared of a personal chef. Don't be scared of their recipes. No. So sometimes people are. They're like, ooh, I can't do that. She's going to have some fancy thing that I can't make. So,
no, yes, it's great. Same thing. It's first of all, I did not go to culinary school. I am self-taught. So there's that side. And also, it's the same thing as nutrition. People are intimidated with dietitians. People are intimidated with chefs. We always there's no reason to be. We always have to meet people where they are. And I don't feel any need from any capacity, either as a dietitian or as a chef, to show off. The most important thing is you walk away from a nutrition conversation feeling, first of all, better, excited. Also, you learned one or two things to take away, and you walk away from a cooking class, first of all, with a really yummy meal that you get to enjoy, but again, inspired, it was fun, not ooh, I only can do that if I'm doing it with a quote unquote professional.
Right. Yeah. That's great. I just saw your salmon recipe that you posted the other day, and I'm because I struggle with salmon. I want to eat salmon, but I can never find a recipe that I love. So
there you go.
I'm going to make it. So I'll keep you posted on that one.
And that one relies on store-bought barbecue or teriyaki sauce, whatever kind of sauce, condiments are great. We don't need to do everything homemade. The meal that hits your table is better than the meal that is never made. It does not have to be homemade all the time. Reminds me of semi-homemade with Sandra Lee.
Oh, yes. I used to love her. And her fancy tables that she, her tablescapes.
They were so ridiculous.
Tablescapes were insane.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You will never see it. I'm looking at half dead tulips at the moment. We can't be good at everything.
If I start seeing tablescapes come out of you, I'm going to be very concerned.
No. You won't. Sorry. You're not going to get that content here.
And then one last question about it. Are you still doing some personal chef things as well, or is that kind of not part of your business anymore?
No, I do. And that, okay. So I do it, I just once a week for one client. I realized after some time that I really missed it. Mm-hmm. And again, like that, I mentioned that for a really long time, it felt like not legitimate to me in whatever capacity. And then I realized, like, first of all, it's a part of what I do. It's a part of my passion. I miss being there. It keeps a skill alive in me that I value in myself. So I do it once a week for a client that I totally love. And that's when you'll see like a day in the life of me as a personal chef. You'll see that content pop up on my Instagram, because I do still do it. And I do very much still love it. And then I do the occasional like catering gig or something that as well. Yeah.
That's great. You're finding the balance, lady. I can tell you're figuring it out. I love it.
That's funny, because I just journaled this morning, which is a rare occasion for me, how I think that the idea of balance is like completely BS. it's like, it's always, again, like everything a work in progress. And sometimes I've got 50% of myself to give for whatever reason. And then that means like the balance looks really bad, but it's the best that I can do. Mm-hmm. So it's like this illusion that it has to be that you're going full tilt on everything at every second. It's just like an unattainable lie that is shared to us to make us feel bad about how much we're actually getting done. But yes, I try to find an authentic balance and, again, work in progress, working on it.
I'm the same as you. I'm like, balance is fluid. So
yes,
I love that you can say like, some days I have 50% to give and some days I have 90%. Mm-hmm, we just go with it.
Yeah, totally.
Well, thank you for sharing all that about you. I mean, even in the time that we talked, I didn't get all of that. So it's so interesting to see the pieces all coming together of how Laura has gotten to where she is today. So thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much. That was really fun. That was good. Like, I feel great. Good. I'll go on a run or something. Is this how my clients feel?
Maybe.
I must be really good at what I do. If this is how they walk away anyway, you're great at what you're doing too. So thank you for having me.
Okay. So you answered all the hard questions. Well, yeah, I'd say those are easy questions. Now you have to answer my hard questions. So are you ready? Are you ready, my dear?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So why don't you share with me some foods that you enjoy?
Okay. This is going to come as no surprise. But like very equal opportunity around here. It would be impossible for me to name anything, but I can tell you like the meal that I would have if it was my last would
okay.
be really good pizza and a selection of like incredible, carefully prepared seasonal salads. Like those two Ooh. Things to me and together, like don't serve it to me in courses. I want it all at once. So you can choose.
Yes. Have it all at the same time. I like that. What about beverages that you enjoy?
My two favorite times of the day are first thing in the morning, coffee, cappuccino to be exact. And then,
Yes.
my drink at nighttime, whether it's a glass of wine or a cocktail sometimes. But I am mostly a water, coffee, booze person. Okay.
Love it. Me too. Cocktails have their place, right?
Yes.
Just every once in a while.
For sure.
What about scents or smells that you enjoy?
Oh, I loved this one. Anything that is like from nature directly, like first of all, I love walking in, this might sound gross because I live in, Brooklyn, New York City, but like that first morning air door, like the kind of dampest, like I like that. That's not really nature, but I like the smell of the outdoors. And then like I love the smell of cut grass and walking by like lilacs or lily of the valley or lavender, like that brush. Those are my favorite scents, like the really ones. And I didn't even think about food. Food smells really good too, but it's such a part of like, it's just constantly
it's
in my
just
nose
every day.
I cook so much.
Yeah.
That more the smells from outside are what I love.
Love it. Name someone that you, whether they're alive or they're past, that you would like to sit down and share a meal with or have a cocktail with or a coffee.
Yes. That's another really good question. Okay. I would love to be at the table with, okay, these two people are very different, but Ina Garten and or Brené Brown. But I would be the one to have to talk to either of them because they're both so intimidating and like godly to me. I want to be with someone else who can interview them and I can be there and I can ask questions at the end or just nod along and they can tell how much I appreciate them.
Oh my gosh. Do you want them there at the same time or do you want separate times?
Oh, it would have to be separate.
Yeah, because that would be a lot.
They're two different. I really respect everything that Ariana Garten has done because she's just like such a powerhouse and clearly above all else, a businesswoman. So I just like, I'm so fascinated by that side of her and she feels, I don't know. I mean, pretty authentic to me when she is actively in those roles. Like I've seen some interviews with her when she's in the role and I'm like, you are a bad person, badass. I don't know if I can say that here, but like, I really respect her. Heck yes. Yes. And then, Brené Brown, like her work has probably been the most impactful for how I live my life. So I would just like to see her in person.
Never know. It could happen. Never throw it off the table, lady.
I get nervous just thinking about it.
And finally, what brings you joy in life?
I was funny. I saw a meme on this the other day and it was a mom being like being with my kids and not being with my kids.
Anyway, yeah. So, oh, so legit.
Definitely legit. Family, like definitely big picture, like family and whether that's my, you know, direct family, kids and husband or my siblings. But also like, I love having just time that is mine, that time first thing in the morning where I can, it's like the whole possibility of the day is ahead of me and it feels like stolen time. So I would say like the small, just immediate joy is early morning hours when it's still dark and like the world is my oyster to read, journal, sometimes exercise, all of those good things.
Ooh, I love that time too. I'm with you. Like I like, that's like the high energy time.
Yes. You're a morning person.
Yes,
right?
I am.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
so many people are like, how do I become that? And I'm like, I've got nothing for you there. I think you either are or you aren't.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And coffee helps get me there.
Yeah. The smell of it, the darkness, it's all like it's pure bliss.
So good. So good.
Oh, Laura, thank you so much for today. What a great conversation. And I will link your website and your Instagram handle in the show notes. So everyone go follow her. She's awesome to hang out with in both of those places. And thank you for today.
Thank you so much, Anne Elizabeth. I so appreciate you having me.
Well, I met Laura on a little adventure to New York City for an event hosted by Celestina of the Dietitian Collaborative. And we just happened to sit next to each other and I just could tell that she's just someone I wanted to know and just to chat with. And it's totally, you know, our conversation totally rings true to that initial conversation we had at the table. I love her food. You have to go follow her on Instagram at whatweeat.nyc because she has such approachable recipes. She just shares real life of what she does at home and what she does just to even help her own clients. And then I just love her realistic approach to intuitive eating and how she really has tried to align herself and educate herself with what feels good as being a dietitian. And I think that that is a great message for all of us who maybe are still trying to find our way in our field, but it's never too late to really align with how you feel about practicing. Remember to be great always, find the joy in each day, and to start a conversation that truly matters.